Take your Bibles and go to Psalm chapter 90. We're going to look at several verses this morning. And this is a topic that should not be confusing, but it is to a lot of people. It should not be a spooky subject. It should be a subject that everybody enjoys. It should be a subject that's important to everybody, but because some have complicated it, I think a little unnecessarily, people avoid this topic, and I don't think you have to. I think it's something you should enjoy and relish in. And so we're going to talk about walking with God in God's will, the will of God. I hope this is an encouragement to you. Psalm chapter 90, verse number 9. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. And then this little phrase right here, we spend our years as a tale that is told. Amazing verse in your Bible. God says in his word that we live our lives as a story that's already been told. Before we got here, God knew our story. God is sovereign. God's in control. God has a will for every person. I've asked myself this question. How come I had to wait until I was 20 to get saved? How come I couldn't be, you know, like one of the dog kids? And how come I couldn't get saved at age 4 or age 5 or age 6? Well, that's because God knew that's what I needed. Amen? But do we want our kids saved at a little early age? Sure. Sure we do. But some of us got saved when we were older. No problem. What an awesome thought to think we live our lives as a story that God has already told before we were born. Some think of God's will as a huge circle. It's just big, and to do the will of God generally, I think the will of God is much more specific than that, and I think it's day by day. Tomorrow, okay, watch this. That's Psalm 90, verse 9. Go to Jeremiah chapter 1 and look at verse 5. Jeremiah chapter 1, Isaiah, Jeremiah. If you hit Ezekiel or Daniel, you've gone too far. Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. If we live our lives, which we do, as a tale that is told, God already has told the story of our lives. We deal in present, past, and future, but God doesn't dwell in time. The Bible says God dwells in eternity, so there is no yesterday or tomorrow with God. I know that's a deep thought, but we're limited. God is not. So God has told our story of our life before we were ever born, and then God says in his word, before you were formed, I knew thee. They teach what's wrong about abortion is life starts at conception. I don't have a problem with that, and I believe, yeah, life starts at conception. But God says, before you were conceived, I knew you. That's amazing. And before you were born, I chose you. See, this isn't talking about salvation. God knows whether you're going to get saved or not before you get saved, but God doesn't make you get saved. But God does know who'll choose him, but God doesn't make people choose him. And God says, before you came forth out of your mother's womb, God says, what I wanted you to do, I had a plan for every person's life. You say, well, that's true for Jeremiah because he's a preacher. I don't think you can read it that way. Every person in here, if you're a saved child of God, God wants to use you in a specific way, and you have something you're supposed to do for God before you die that God planned before you were born. That's not spooky, mystical Christianity. That's Bible. And it's wonderful to know that you're that much of an individual with God. Amen? God says, and that's why I wish you'd mark verse 5 or something so you can go back and look at it later, but what a powerful verse. Your life is important to God. And how you live your life, God has a will for every person. The reason this concept is so, I think, misconstrued is because if you don't teach it from God's will, God's angle, you get this type of American Christianity. And this is what I'm talking about. Because here's what normally happens. God, I want to do this. I want to marry this person. I want to do this with my life. I want to go here. I want to, now God, this is what I want to do. So you bless me in what I want to do. Then the marriage doesn't work out. The job doesn't work out, but there was no prayer. There was no seeking God's face. They were literally doing what God... And the idea of American Christianity is, I do my will and what I want to do, and then when it doesn't work out, I get angry at God. And do you know how many people I meet that are angry at God? A lot. Because God didn't bless what they wanted to do. But there was no prayer, no seeking God's face, no saying, Lord, what I'm trying to show you this morning is a Christian takes the attitude, God, you put me here on this earth to do something. Please help me do it before I die. Now let me give you something more specific. Tomorrow's Monday. God, what did you create me to do tomorrow? God knows about your day tomorrow before you're there. That's why I tell you, it's important for you to put God in your schedule, like reading your Bible and praying, so you can get in tune with God. So you're not doing this, and God's not doing this. And then eventually you need to get in sync with God, so you're doing the same thing. But you got one Christian living this way, I want to do this, and God's going, no, I want you to do this. And it's two different animals. That's American Christianity. You know what's beautiful? Every one of you is special to God. And you were made. And I'm so glad God doesn't deal with us as a hive. You know what I mean? Here, you all do this. Yes, we have jobs we're all supposed to do. We're all, and I'll show you that here in just a second. But every person in here is special to God. And what a verse. To know before you were conceived, God said, I knew you. I knew you. And I believe that's true with every person. You say, how could God do that? I don't know. The Bible says the stars are countless, but thus far they've counted like, I think, 114 trillion stars. And they said they haven't even touched. I don't even know what that looks like. And God says He's named every one of them. We serve a big God. He's in control. He knows what's going on. Now, with that concept in mind, and we're talking about the will of God, go to Romans chapter 12 in your New Testament. Go in the New Testament to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Okay, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A lot in that verse, beautiful words. Look at verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God's will has three levels: good, acceptable, and perfect. Everybody in here, God has a perfect will for your life. But if you miss it, God has an acceptable will for your life. And if you miss that, God has a good will for your life. That's why we say He's the God of the first chance and the second chance and the third chance. Now, God says, I have a plan for your life. As you are in sync with me and as you read my word and spend time with me and pray, I show you that will. That's why when a young person says to me, I want to do this with my life, my response is always the same. Is that what God wants you to do? And somebody, a long time ago, somebody made this statement. They said, well, you just want everybody to be a preacher. I know as well as I'm standing here, God doesn't want everybody to be a preacher. I know it's God's will that everybody be a soul winner. Amen. I know it's God's will that everybody serve Him. Now, how much time you'd give is how much God calls you. Amen. But no, there's certain things all of us are called to do. There's certain things you cannot be a successful Christian. There are some things without doing. But God has a will for every person's life specifically. Now, notice verse 1 deals with a presentation of your body. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Before you can find out God's will in verse 2, there has to be a surrender to God in verse 1. God, please show me what your will is. I present myself to you. You present your body like you give Christmas presents at Christmas, right? Here, I give this to you. It's the same word, present. God, I present myself to you. I give myself to you because of what you've done for me. Please show me your will. As soon as you yield and surrender in verse 1, then verse 2 kicks in. Then God says, okay, I'll show you. See, God doesn't play hide and seek with his will. God doesn't say, I'm going to save your never dying soul from an eternal burning hell and then spend the rest of your life playing peekaboo with what I decide, what I have for you to do. Any Christian can find out what God's will for their life is. It's not a mystery. It's not a Rubik's Cube that very few people figure out. So let's get more specific here. The word will, when we're talking about God's will, you say, what are you talking about? It means wish, it means want, and it means desire. So when we're talking about God's will for your life, we're talking about what does God wish for you? What does God want? What does God desire for you? That's what I'm praying when I'm saying, Lord, help me today to do your will. I want to do your wishes. I want to do your wants. I want to do your desires for my life and why you created me. That's what we're praying. Now, if you understand the word will, God's will, go to John 6:40. Look what Jesus tells us here. He says this, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that tells me this. It's God's will. I can look at every person and say, it's God's will that you get saved. Now, God's not going to make you get saved, but it's God's will. If you're lost, it is the will and wish and want and desire of God for you to be saved. God wants you saved. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. So God's word tells me what God wishes and wants and desires. Now, that's a wonderful tool to use when I go out soul winning. When somebody says, well, you know, Christianity is good for you, but this religion's good for me. I say, I don't care what you think is good for you. It's God's will that you get saved. Isn't that a wonderful thing? And look, that's, now your Bible tells you, what is God's will? So the first thing I can say is, what does the Bible tell me is God's will for every person? Number one, God wants everybody saved. We know everybody's not going to be saved, but it is God's will that everybody gets saved. There are other verses that deal with that. We're not going to go to them this morning, but 1 Timothy 2:3 and 4 and 1 John 3:23 tell you, God's not willing that any should perish. Now let's go to another subject. I got a method behind my madness, so stay with me. God says it's his will that every person gets saved. Then I can show you in the Bible in Matthew 3:15, in Acts 2:38, in Acts 10:48. I can show you if you're saved, it is then God's will that you follow the Lord in believer's baptism. You say, how do you know that? You're saying that because you're a Baptist preacher. I'm saying that because that's Bible. God's word tells me what his wants, wills, and desires are for every person's life. Then, after you get baptized, I could take you to Luke 4:16. I could take you to Hebrews 10:24 and 25. And I can tell you, church is God's will for your life. It's God's will that every child of God be in church. I can make this statement. I'm going to go a little further, but I have Bible behind it. Because it's God's will, it's not God's will that any child of God be out of church. That's why we say, when the church doors are open, you ought to be here. What? So you can have a big attendance and tell everybody how many people you had in church and have a big offering? No. See, that's what they think. You want everybody in church so you can have a big church. I want you in church so you can be a strong Christian. So you can live in God's will. Watch this. Now, I know you're here this morning, but isn't it wonderful to sit in church and say this? I know right now I'm right where God wants me. Well, you know, I could be doing this or I could be doing this. And, you know, I got an offer to do this. And then they offered me triple time, my job, if I came in and worked. Isn't it wonderful as a child of God to know when I'm in church, I'm exactly where God wants me? There should be a peace that comes over you with that. You say, how come? Because of what the Bible teaches. Let's finish a few more things here, and then I'm going to give you an application. I can take you to Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read, and I can tell you it's God's will that you read your Bible. You've heard me say this before. I hope you read it during the week. I hope you don't just read it on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night when you come to church. Although if you are only doing that, I guess I should be thankful that you're at least doing it a little, but I know you're starving yourself to death. It's God's will. Here, let me say it this way. Tomorrow's Monday. It's God's will for you to sometime tomorrow read your Bible. Say, how much? That's between you and God. Well, I'm too busy. If you're too busy to read your Bible, you're too busy. Best I'll tell you. Then your life's out of whack. Can I preach a little bit? Amen. I know that's stout, but I can say that because of what the Bible says. Everybody understand? This isn't pastor's will. This is a gospel light doctrine. This is Bible doctrine. I can go down a whole list. I could take you to Matthew chapter 6, when you pray, not if you pray. Luke 18, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. So the purpose of the next parable that you're about to read is supposed to teach you where to pray all the time. So I can look at every Christian and say, it's God's will that you pray. You ought to have a time where you go in your closet, but you can't live there. But you can pray while you're on your job. You can pray in your drive to work. You can pray when you get up in the morning. I can tell you this, it's God's will that you pray. And nobody would argue with that. Nobody would say, who do you think you are telling me to pray to God? Okay. nobody would go to that extreme. But isn't it? What I'm trying to show you is this. God's will is written in His Word. It's nothing, well, I wonder what I'm supposed to do today. Well, God's got some things that He plans for you to do, that He wants for you to do, that He wishes that you would do, that He desires that you would do. God wants you to get saved. God wants you to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. God wants you in church. God wants you to read your Bible. God wants you to pray to Him. God wants you going soul winning. And there's a lot of Bible verses behind that. It's God's will that every child of God labor and put forth energy to win souls. It does not have to be at a church-designated time. We do it together to encourage each other. But I know what it's like to go soul winning by myself. I'll say this, it's harder. But it's nice when we can get together and have 5 or 6 or 12 or 15. One time we had 25. I shouldn't have said that. But it's nice to watch other Christians serve. So we meet together to encourage one another. But I've had times where it wasn't a church soul winning designated time and I led somebody to Christ. It's God's will that every Christian go soul winning. We're all told to do that. We're all told to do that. I could take you to Leviticus 27, 30 to 32, Malachi chapter 3, 7 verse 1. I can show you it's God's will that every Christian tithe. If you made $10 last week, you owe God a buck. You say, the Bible says so. Okay? If you made $100, you owe God $10 less. You can just do the math. Just move the decimal point. Amen? That's how you tithe. That's God's will. This is the written will of God. Here's the application for this morning. Knowing there's this much Bible, and watch, I could go on. There's things that aren't on here. Let me give you one. 1 Peter chapter 1, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. It's God's will that you work at being holy, if you're saved. So there's things that all of us are told to do that's God's written will in His Word. There are also things concerning God's will that are not written. For instance, who you're supposed to marry. The specific job you're supposed to, it does not say thou shalt be a plumber. I found a verse to back up my job occupation. There's very few occupations that are mentioned in the Bible. I do know this. Your job is very important to God. There's only, as a matter of fact, I don't think this has ever happened. When somebody gets saved, they always go, you know, well, I'm not, look, I always tell everybody, when you get saved, what you do for God is holy as you do it with the Lord. I don't care if it's a soldier or whatever. The only time that would differ is if you're a drug dealer and you get saved, you need to find a different job. Okay? If you're a stripper or a prostitute or we can just go right there. Are some, if you're making moonshine and that's your greatest form of income, you need to change your job. Okay? But most jobs aren't that way. Your job can be holy and you can look at your job as what God's given you. When it's clean and you can do it with God and it can become holy because it's what God gave you to provide for your family with. Amen? Now, the unwritten will of God is found through the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. The Holy Spirit guides you into all truth. It's found through prayer. We read Romans, Psalm 37, verse 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's found through obedience. If any man will do my will, he shall know of the doctrine. John 7, 17. I could take you through these things. Watch this. Let me apply it. Why would God tell you what is not written in His Word when you don't do what is written in His Word? To every child of God, doing God's will should be the biggest thing in your life. It should be, I want to do what God saved me to do, but before that, I want to do what God made me to do. Let's go before that. Since my life is a story that is told, we live our lives as a story that is told, God has a plan for my life, then I want God's will. God, what do you have for me to do today? And I'll say it, why would God guide you in His unwritten will and show you the steps to take when you're not doing the written Word of God? That's why I tell the teenagers, you're choosing your spouse is the second greatest decision you'll make outside of getting saved. Why would God lead you in what spouse to marry when going to church isn't important and soul winning isn't important and tithing is? You understand? When what God has written is not important. God's not going to say, okay, I'll skip all of the obvious stuff and show you the hidden. God doesn't work that way. And the reason God's will is a mystery and it's spooky to a lot of people is because they think they can leapfrog and skip steps in the Christian life. And God says, the Christian life, here we go, ready? Let's look at it as an overview. The Christian life is not complicated. It is hard. If it was easy, everybody would do it, right? But the Christian life is not so hard that you can't understand it. It's not so complex and detailed, and this goes here, and part A slips into B with a tag, and part C that slips up. It's not that way. It's not complex. I like what somebody said. The Christian life is a lot like shoveling dirt. There's a few basics that'll help you. It'll help if you know what end of the shovel to use. But the rest of the Christian life is a rhythm. It's a rhythm. And it's work. And it's labor. And people are like, well, I don't want to, I'd rather, you know. There's a specific way we're told to do it. And it's not complex. It is hard work. But God doesn't jump His written Word just to show you what's in His hidden Word. Amen? And if you'll do what God tells you and commands you and make that a priority, God says, I'll lead you in everything else. I'll guide you. I'll show you. But the written Word of God has to be important. Okay? Take your Bible now and part of the lesson. Go to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, I guess there's several titles you could call this. The secret to finding God's will that isn't a secret. People say the key to finding God's will. And you know, then there's 13 keys, you know, that you got to use. There's not a key to finding God. The key to finding God's will is His Word. Amen? And it's simple. Now, me applying it to my life, that takes character, that takes discipline, that takes my desire. Watch this. Look at Psalm 37, and here we go. Got several steps here, but look at verse 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So God says, don't worry about the wickedness of evil people. I don't care. Look, the heathen are always going to rage this week, you know, Democratic debate, you know. They said, we're going to take your guns. Okay? They've been saying that a long time, and it may come to that. But let me just remind you of something. There's been Christians in other lands that didn't have a gun either that did God's will. I'm not commanded to have a gun. I want to have a gun. I have a scriptural right to protect myself. That is Bible. But my God doesn't command me to have a gun to maintain my right, be right with Him. You say, well, they'll take my gun when they pry it from my dead, cold fingers. They will. They've got enough technology, they will. I just have to choose, is that something I want to die for? I'm not commanded to do that. I do want to give my life for the Lord, but them take, you understand? In other words, oh, what are we going to do? Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Well, Google is censoring and they're censoring free speech, and we're losing our rights. Praise God for our amendments that give us our freedoms. But I do not have to have freedom of speech. Now watch this. It sure does make my life easier. But I'm not commanded by God to have freedom of speech to serve Him. And if they condemn preaching, I think the day is going to come where they got these bots that search the internet. I've got stuff on our website about homosexuality. The bots find it. People don't find it. Robots find it. They'll find it. They may outlaw our website someday. It's not here yet. Better enjoy our freedoms while we got them. Amen. Serve God. You say, what are you going to do if they take your website down? I'll still preach against it. I'll still preach against it. It'll just be more difficult. You understand? What I'm trying to tell you is, there'll always be things to be in an uproar about. And the heathen don't stop. But fret not thyself because of evildoers. Then look, it says, trust in the Lord. And then notice verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. We're going to close class with this. When the average Christian reads verse 4, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee desires of thine heart. Child of God, this is what I wish you'd take home with this. The average Christian reads it and they say, if I delight myself in God, go to church, read my Bible, try to tell people about the Lord, do what I'm supposed to do, then God will give me the desires of my heart and the things that I want. That's a materialistic Christianity. That is not what that verse means. Let me reread it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee, He shall give or impart the desires of thine heart. This is what the verse means. Ready? If you will delight yourself in God and work at being faithful to church, if you'll read your Bible, if you'll do your best, and you give your effort to the Lord, then He gives you the wants or the desires of your heart. He changes your wanter. He gives you the right things to want. Just because I want something doesn't make it right. There's some things my flesh wants that's wicked that I'm supposed to say no to. There's other things, God says, if you'll delight yourself in me, I'll change your wanter, and I'll give you good desires. I'll give you good dreams. I'll give you good wants. No, you delight yourself in me. Look at the next one here. How do you find God's will? Psalm 37, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Verse 7, rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. And then you end up with verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. God doesn't order every man's steps. God orders the man's steps who does the first part of the chapter. Amen? We live in a day of weird Christianity. This is what I want to do. This is where I want to go. This is what, it's all about me. And if God doesn't bless me in what I want to do, then I get angry at God. And I deal with that as a pastor an awful lot. Christian, I hope looking at God's will from His Word would give you the right perspective. Because watch this, some of you have family members you could take and share this with, and you could help them. Bitterness is everywhere. It's sad. But that's because that's what where this leads. I hope this is a help to you. I hope this encourages you.